Before writer and critic H.L. Mencken died in 1956, he sent some heavy wooden boxes sealed with iron bands to a public library in his hometown of Baltimore. In his will, Mencken stipulated that the boxes not be opened until 35 years after his death. When they were unsealed in January 1991, they were found to contain an unfinished manuscript entitled H.L. Mencken, My Life as Author and Editor. It was nearly 2,000 pages long. A greatly trimmed edition of Mencken's memoir has just been published, and commentator Maureen Cargan says it's so wicked, she wishes she could read the whole thing.
I once read that when John Keats decided to get serious about writing poetry, he hung two portraits above his desk, one of Shakespeare, the other of Milton. Keats thought that even if he never matched or beat these masters, their wise eyes would always frighten him into trying his best. I'd suspect that many contemporary critics also have hung up a portrait, even if it's just a ghostly one, over their computers. The portrait is of H.L. Mencken, and I know that mine is one of those trick kind that changes expression. Whenever I type out a stinky sentence, my Mencken portrait rolls his eyes and then pours another one of his famous coffin varnish cocktails. Mencken is complacent because he knows that no writer sweating under his stare is likely to ever share that space on the wall with him. Despite the recent controversies over his private prejudices, I still think H.L. Mencken was, arguably, the greatest popular American social and literary critic of the 20th century. If you don't know why that is, read some of his essays collected in volumes like The American Language and Notes on Democracy. If you do know your Mencken, you'll want to read his memoir, My Life as Author and Editor. Mencken started writing it in 1942, and it focuses on his career during the 20s, when he and George G. Nathan were editing the famous literary magazine, The Smart Set, as well as pulps like The Black Mask, The Parisienne, and Saucy Stories. During his Smart Set years, Mencken met or reviewed all the heavyweights, James Joyce, Gertrude Stein, Ernest Hemingway, D.H. Lawrence. The great fun of reading this memoir is hearing Mencken gleefully dismiss almost all of them as duds, boozers, and bogus eminentissimos. He even takes a swipe at Helen Keller. Mencken, in his words, whooped up a lot of writers, too, but he was never so blinded by their genius that he didn't note their all-too-human flaws. For instance, Mencken championed the novels of Theodore Dreiser, and the two men became good friends. But Dreiser, apparently, was too egotistical to ever comment on Mencken's own celebrated writings. Mencken complains that the only one of my ideas that got any real response from him was the idea that he was a great novelist. Of course, Mencken was not without flaws himself. When his diaries were published a couple of years ago, many readers were shocked by his anti-Semitic remarks, especially since many of his close friends were Jewish. I disagree with critic Jonathan Yardley, who edited this memoir and who claims that Mencken, by the standards of his own time, was not anti-Semitic. The Jew, not a Jew references here are just too obsessive. But just as Mencken distinguished between Sinclair Lewis, whom he called an idiot, and Lewis's novel Main Street, which he called a masterpiece, I think we fans have to distinguish between the often bigoted man and his incisive, truth-telling essays. This is the very kind of contradiction that never failed to set Mencken himself howling.
Maureen Cargan teaches at Georgetown University. She reviewed H.L. Mencken, My Life as Author and Editor.